I sometimes start these things out with a confession, and I want to start with one today. I hate asking for help. I hate it so much. And now that I've made that confession, I can feel all alone because I know none of you hate asking for help, right? Nobody in the room? Absolutely not. No. In fact, over the course of my learning, I've realized that there are three groups of people that don't like asking for help. Here they are. You're going to put up the next slide for me, right? Men, women, and children. Those are the only three groups. Maybe there's some more, in fact. But seriously, it is amazing how much we struggle to rely on other people. It might be the most common pastoral care conversation I have, is somebody is dealing with the reality that they're going to have to rely on others to show up with food or to help them do something or go somewhere. Most of us really struggle with the idea, especially if we've been independent for any length of time, with the idea of asking for help because it makes us feel weak. It makes us feel weak. And especially for those who have been self-sufficient for a really long time or have had other people, if you've had other people rely on you, we often, people like that, often get used to other people relying on us. And when we have to rely on somebody else, it can feel overwhelming. It can feel so stressful. Whether you're the boss at work, or you're the mom or dad who keeps the house running, or you've done things on your own a lot, it's easy to start thinking, I've got it. Whatever it is, I can do it. And we start to believe something about the world, and it's this. I did it on my own. I did it on my own. And when we start to believe that, we miss some really important things. Because the question is, have we really done it on our own? We get disconnected really easy from our own story. It's easy to get far away from the history that we have as people. When you were born, you did very little on your own. Pretty much people carried you everywhere you needed to go and brought you to the places you needed to be. People fed you and kept you warm and alive. None of us started out self-sufficient. As children, school was likely a gift for you. It was a gift for me. Somebody built it. Somebody hired the teachers. Somebody paid them. I just showed up and complained, which was really probably annoying to a whole bunch of people who had put that reality together. But parents and adults nurtured us. We discovered gifts that we may have developed, but a lot of those things start out as innate abilities in us that we didn't create ourselves. The things that I'm best at, I've developed over time, but I'm probably not going, well, yeah, I just, you know, I didn't know how to do anything, and then I just learned all on my own. As adults, it's easier to think I did it because we live our lives in the midst of systems, whether you drove here on roads that I definitely didn't build, maybe you did, or whether you knew that you were supposed to be here because you had a phone in your hand that told you information. Whatever it is, we live our lives because there are systems around us that care for us. Sometimes we have the jobs and opportunities that we have as adults because people take chances on us and others make our lives possible. Why am I talking about all this? Because we don't thrive all by ourselves. We rely on one another in all kinds of ways for to be able to show up in this world and do the things that we're called to do. And today's scripture, the verse that we're reading in scripture, is a key reminder of this. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 3? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to teach. Now, you're getting dropped right into the middle of the story here, so let me back up a couple of verses because this is important. Where it starts is that Paul is writing a letter to the people in Corinth. And he's writing them, and they're having this pretty big conflict about what's going on. And what's really happened is a group of people over here are like, do you remember when Apollos came to our community? He showed up, he preached the gospel, he built a church, and I was baptized by Apollos. And so we're the real Christians. We're the ones who know Jesus best because of who Apollos was in our life. You get this other group over here, and they're like, no, Apollos, what are you talking about? We've seen him try to preach. We knew Paul. And Paul showed up, and he was the first person to tell us about the gospel, and he told us all these amazing things about Jesus. He's the one who actually got blinded by Jesus on that road to Damascus. It was amazing. We know Paul. And they start to have this argument over who has the best faith. And it goes into this. Well, I was baptized by Apollos. Well, I was baptized by Paul. And they start wearing it like a badge of honor, like, look what happened. But it doesn't take very long to go from bragging about who baptized me to the next step. And the next step is this. If I got Apollos to baptize me, I must really have it together. This is really something that I have done. And I've made it happen in this world. Whoever is the best pastor or the best leader, they're all struggling with this, and Paul is mad at them for this problem because he thinks they're missing something key. And in order to help them understand, he writes one of the very most famous verses in all of the Bible. He writes this: I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. And this is what is critical. When we become convinced that it's up to us, or that we have control, or that we have done it on our own, it's helpful to understand Paul's point here. We might be part of something that's happening, but there's probably something else happening as well. There's probably more going on than what it is that we know in this moment. Paul uses this metaphor of things that are growing. And when it comes to growing a plant, you can attribute some of the mechanics to people. Some of you are really good gardeners, and you know you're going to need sun, and you're going to need water, and you're going to need fertilized soil, and you're going to need all of the different steps, all of the different ways to care for this garden. But I have yet to meet a gardener who said, I grew it. Nothing else, no one else, I took care of it. Because the truth is that when you start to plant something, sometimes it thrives and sometimes it doesn't. And there is some part of it that is out of our control. It's frustrating too, right? I am the worst gardener. I've admitted that in front of you before, time and time again, but it's really important because when I think that I can grow something, usually it dies immediately. That's just the reality of what's going on. My parts are not good. But sometimes I'm like, is it really me? And even the best gardener will tell you that that plant's not going to live forever. It's not going to just keep going and going. We need something else to help these things grow. And Paul is saying when it comes to our faith, we have to treat this like a gardener would treat a plant. Yes, we did a lot of things. But there's somebody bigger doing some things as well. God gave the growth. God gave the growth. And for Paul, when it comes to our lives, our spirits, our work in the world, if we think we can do it all ourselves, we deny this important truth that we are dependent on God. Whether it comes to our faith or whether it comes to the idea like, I just keep breathing today. And that breath, as much as I would love to tell you, I can control it, I can speed it up, I can slow it down, but I certainly don't know how to start it. It just is. It is a reality that we are dependent on something beyond ourselves. It is a critical admission that we have to make, and when it comes to making that admission, we usually want to run away. We're usually not interested in admitting that truth. But Paul backs it up. What does he say next? He says, no, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. Remember, who planted? Paul. Who watered? Apollos. So he's saying, hey, I'm not really that important, and neither is the guy that you all are fighting for that is the one that you consider like my rival in this moment. It's not about us, but it's about God who gives the growth. You see, Paul knew this way too well. As a younger man, he thought he had his life together. He rose to leadership as a part of the Jewish community in Jerusalem. He was a friend of the legal scholars and a friend of the priests. He was alongside them as they were enforcing the rules of the faith. In addition to that, he had some wealth. He had enough money so he could buy his Roman citizenship and be a citizen of Rome and have the protections of that. He had wealth, he had respect, he had a thriving career. And when Jesus stops him in his tracks, his life changes. And he knew, I've been called to work alongside this God, but it's going to be God, not me, who gets the glory, because it's God's work that actually stopped me and got me going the right direction, not any of my abilities. See, he thought he knew what he needed to do. He thought he knew he needed to take control and succeed. But the reality was is that God was doing something through him. And it wasn't until God gave the growth that he figured out what he was called to be doing going forward. Paul was planted for a purpose. That's the title of our sermon today. What does it mean to be planted for a purpose? And the thing about realizing that we are one of the planted ones like Paul. We sometimes are the plant. We're not sure what we're doing here, and somebody needs to pour into us. Is the reality that we know without a shadow of a doubt that we cannot do it on our own, that God gives the growth. Today, we're kicking off the next 6 weeks as we begin to talk about how we're going to move into the future as a church. We're talking about what the next steps are for our community, and we're calling this campaign Free to Grow. Those words aren't accidental, by the way. When God plants us or when God calls us, one of the first things we learn about as Christians is our freedom. You are, for freedom, you have been made free, the scripture tells us. And freedom for us, what we believe we're being called to freedom from, is something that has stood in our way for too long. We stand in a beautiful facility. It's really been a gift to us in all kinds of ways. Starting in 2000, I think 5 is when we renovated this space. I think we're 20 years away from that when they redid our sanctuary. And then in addition to that, we were able, over time, we were able to purchase the discipleship center across the way because we're getting too big and there was too much going on here. If you've been here on a Tuesday or a Friday, you're like, this place is crazier than Sunday. It's kind of wild to see that. And so we needed space. We also realized there were lots of places in this church that hadn't been cared for since the late 60s at that point. And I don't know about your house, but my house needs some love and care on a regular basis, some updating, and made it to be useful. And so we did all of those projects. And we're at a place now where we have a lot of space. But with all that space and with the spaces that are really functional, what came along was a mortgage. And necessary. Some of you bought a house, you get a mortgage. That's part of the deal. You have to do that. But one of the things that we know is that right now, more than one out of every $5 that's given to this church goes to help with debt, whether it's principal or interest of paying down that mortgage. It's significant. It's a lot at times. And we've been able to manage it over the years, but one of the ways I like to think about it is you can get a mortgage when you're 30, but you better not get one when you're 75. Do you know that feeling? And it's not that we're old and we're over the hill, but we need to have a plan for how we're going to be able to take care of some of that so that when it comes time to deal with some of the building things we need to do again, we're not still paying on that mortgage from all those years ago. And so that's what we're talking about, because that debt stands in the way of what might be possible next on a regular basis. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to ask this question. What would it mean to be free from that kind of debt? To be able to shrink that to a place where we can manage it very easily, or dreaming, paying it off? And so that we can see St. Mark grow, so that we can see freedom from that stress so we can grow. Because the truth is that there are often dreams, there are often ideas. Some of you are like, we've had Pastor Eliezer in a halftime role, and we've had pastors before him in halftime roles. But some of you are like, don't you think this church needs a second full-time pastor? And when you don't say it, I'm going to tell you that we're one of the largest churches in the country that doesn't have a second full-time pastor in the ELCA. And so we know that that's necessary, but we also know that that means that we could go through the process of teaching, of supporting ministry, of being able to support you if we were able to hire another clergy person. We also know that we need to grow in investing in our young people in this community. We've been able to invest over the last couple years in growing some of our kids and youth staff, and this summer, we really saw the fruit of that. Those ministries grew and thrived. And so the question is, how can we continue to put resources in that area so that those ministries can continue to grow and the lives of young people in our community can continue to be touched by God's good news? That's the growth part of this, that we're getting free from one thing to be able to grow into something else. The first step of that is to do our part, not unlike the people in the story. Apollos showed up, and he preached, and he built a church, and people came to be part of the faith. Paul showed up, and he brought this gospel, and he gave them an idea of what it meant to stand in Jesus' good news. They each baptized some people, and that's what we're asking you to do, to pray about what is your part. What is our part, each of us, in the process of eliminating part or all of that mortgage that prevents us from being free? And then take the steps to help this community grow. Because the truth is, this is not about the money. It's about the lives of people in West Des Moines and in Norwalk and in Des Moines and in Urbandale and in other cities that surround us in all kinds of ways who might hear this good news. And God might show up and care for them. But don't forget the critical part. It's not just up to us. I'd love to tell you that I can make a church grow. Like I can just tell you, we'll do this, and we'll do this, and we'll do this, and everything will work out great. Real talk, if I could do that, I would be way wealthier right now, right? Like everybody wants that information and how that works. But the truth is that being a church is not saying we know what we need to do. Some of it is saying we're going to take the next step in following what God calls us to do. Because we know that the growth actually comes from God, not from us. And so we're asking, what does the next step look like in trusting God, that we would pray for each other? And that we would ask, God, what are you going to do in this place? How are you going to help us to move forward? Because we were planted in this community for a purpose. You were planted in your family and in your workplace and among your friends and as a part of this church for a purpose. And we can water and we can plant, but we simply cannot make it grow without asking God, would you do the work that you set out to do in me, in us, and in this community? And when we wonder if we can really do it, the answer is you actually can't. You're going to need to be dependent on something bigger than yourself. Look at how Paul finishes this verse. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose. Each will receive wages according to their labor. For we are God's co-workers, working together. You are God's field, God's building. Sometimes we're the field, the ones who are being watered, and sometimes we're the co-workers. The ones who are doing the work alongside what God might do so that we can see God continue to grow good works in and through us. But when we say that we're planted for a purpose, when we say there's an opportunity to see God growing in us and through us, what we realize is God isn't our helper, that we get to participate in what God's doing. We get to work alongside God. When we start to think this life is all up to me, that we can just take care of it, whether it's in our own lives or in our own selves, we miss something true. Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the growth. And if you've ever been faced with that reality, the first time you went to the doctor, And you said, hey, how do we fix this? And the doctor said, I don't think you can. You started to realize how much it wasn't up to you. The first time you had a teenager and you said, I would never let my teenager do this. And it turns out they have their own mind and nobody told them they could, but they still do. And you just are realizing like, oh man, I don't have control over this. But when we admit that the world is not under our control, and that we get to stop and pray and say, God, we need to rely on you. That's when things begin to change. Because Jesus didn't show up to say, I've got a plan for this one thing, but you take care of everything else. Instead, Jesus shows up to save us and bless us and teach us and to help us grow in this world so that we can bring the truth of the good news again and again. That you're not on your own. That God has always been pouring into you. That God will always be pouring into you. And you get to line up with what God is doing and say, let's see where we're going together. It's not just up to you. And that, my friends, is the best news and what we give thanks for. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are good. And we know that it's not all up to us. And so when we think, I've got this, God, why don't you just watch so I can take care of it? Instead, we're reminded again and again that when we pray, when we listen, and when we follow after you, we get to see you do amazing things. We're grateful for the ways you've planted and watered this church and helped it to pour into us. And we're grateful for how we get to be a part of that and go forward in your love and in your grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.